Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Transferable skills, wrestle me, Mark!
Transferable skills!
We're talking about transferable skills over there. Wrestling isn't probably one of them, I suppose.
Do you know what I've noticed the other day? I was really sad about this. I mentioned in the last episode that I'd like Rey Mysterio to send me Microsoft Paint. Sometimes the stuff we talk about on the show, it reflects what's actually going on in our real lives.
Yeah, okay.
Oh God, this sounds like such a worthy podcast. What's happened to me is my computer duffed up the other day. I told you all about that. But I've lost my copy of Photoshop. So I've been unable to make those little things that come up and say, wrestle me coming out this week. So I've not been able to do that.
Ah.
So all I'm saying is, if there's anyone out there who wants to make those, by all means, put them up at the right time. Just tag me in and I'll say thanks, and then I'm going to put it up.
Well, our social guy went, Pete, do you need me to do any wrestle me stuff? And I was like, oh, Mark takes care of that. But it was clearly that week where the old laptop died.
That guy to bring me a copy of Photoshop, right? I don't want the one you pay on a yearly.
We can get it. We've got a creative cloud license.
This is what you get from podcasting, ladies and gentlemen. you get to share in the good times.
£30 a month, fucking, it's really, it used to be a lot cheaper when it was easier to pirate. Trish Stratus.
I also need Photoshop so that I can continually put Trish Stratus's body on pornography, I find.
Not why would body, you put head, her body? Head. Jesus, head.
I think Trish Stratus is beautiful, but I don't like the way her head looks. Very strange. Trish Stratus versus Jazz versus Victoria.
Yeah.
At this point is the Divas champion. I didn't mind this match at all.
Absolutely banged. Victoria's, I think I had to Google it, moonsault.
That moonsault
was fucking brilliant.
That moonsault. Honestly, I've written 4 lines on this match, and that moonsault is 2 of them. I think it was. It's one of the best moonsaults you will ever see.
Yeah.
It misses, and it's just a thing of perfect beauty. In a weird way, when you're hitting someone with a moonsault, you go, oh, I've got to land on them, and that's fine. But knowing you're just going to land on that flat ring.
Yeah.
To sort of still do it.
Yes.
I mean, it absolutely meant that's what separates me from being a wrestler and not being a wrestler, apart from all the other things like, you know, fitness, health, you know, training.
Health doesn't get into it. Is it the, you can have, you know.
That's true. I mean, you know, I could have been a wrestler in the 70s in Britain.
Yeah.
I'm noticing, by the way, with it really, it's a funny thing. Big Daddy is the single worst name for a wrestler ever. And
yeah.
I think it's slightly because Big Daddy was so bad at wrestling.
Yeah.
It's sort of bad.
But back in the day, you'd say, look at this master of his physique.
Yeah.
And it would always be, this man consumes 7,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
And you're like,
9 loaves of white tin loaf bread.
It'd always be like, eat your shredded, I have 2 bowls of shredded meat, then I'm going to have a full English, and then it's a big full English.
I eat 6 packs of sausages a day. How can I fail to be strong? There was a thing in the 70s that
if you ate more, you're
monstrously fat, people were like, oh, he must be strong. So, it's a mental thing that it's only in the last 20 years of human existence do we go, fat people are actually not very strong. You know, back then, oh, he must weigh 25 stone, wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of him, you know. Jesus Christ. But I was thinking, like, Big Daddy's such a bad name, and it was because I'd seen this Guardian article had reported that when Silver King had died in the Roundhouse in Camden,
yes,
he was wrestling a wrestler called Juventud Guerrera. And Juventud Guerrera is known around the world, not just the Spanish-speaking world, as Juventud Guerrera. In Spanish, it translates as youth warrior. And so they'd mentioned in this thing, they'd said Silver King was wrestling youth warrior, 51. Right? Right. A bit weird. And I looked at that and you don't translate people's names.
No.
You don't go Antonio Banderas. You don't go, oh, he's Tony Banda.
Well, like
I don't know what Banderas is.
I'm trying to think, Tony Christmas. Antonio
Crimble?
Anthony
Crimble.
Who is Tony Christmas, the footballer? Uh-huh. Tony Christmas, the footballer.
So that would be Antonio Felix Navidad.
Oh, I don't know now. I'm lost. Who's Tony Christmas? Good God. Either way, it translates to Tony Christmas and it would sound fucking ridiculous if everyone actually did it.
God, yeah.
Good Lord.
I was the only one it works with is if you saw Big Daddy, right, and you'd say, instead of going Big Daddy, if he was Spanish, he'd be called Papa Grande. And Papa Grande
is a much better name.
So delightful to say. Yeah. It's as delightful as the word Quimanito. Quimanito and Papa Grande are over the moon. Worth saying, Quimanito on that point. This is seamless. Our good friend Mecca Chete, who made us our Lord Alfred Hayes Wrestle Me pins, which were on sale at last year's live show.
Yes.
And sold out very, very quickly. He's got a new pin out of Quimanito. And Quimanito we use on the banner of our Twitter.
Definitely a favourite of mine.
He was actually, I think, probably the wrestler who was most instrumental in us doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Because when I began sending you pictures of Quimanito, you were like, this is a world I wish to be involved
in. He's bright green blue.
Like a little monkey, space monkey. And he gets treated monstrously. really is amazing.
Yeah, but the pin is fantastic. Mark's going to tweet a picture unphotoshopped. Yeah,
it's really good.
You can't get rid of my spots. Now you haven't got Photoshop, you can't get rid of my spots of the Mecca Shorty pin
badge. I also can't make it smaller. So it will be a huge file. We did quite a bit of file chat on this show. I think that's what people like.
It was Tony Christmas was Antonio Di Natale.
Gotcha.
So there we go.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, no, that makes sense.
I've gone mental.
I think you lost the thread of what you were trying to do.
Really,
I think it was because of the repetition of the phrase "Tony Christmas."
Tony Christmas. Tony Christmas.
Tony Christmas. Tony Christmas.
That's all I've got in my mind now. What would that man look like?
This is great. There's a sign in this that says "Bomb in Korea."
Early shout.
This is also a period where I think the USA are back at war, aren't they? 2003.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jim Ross actually before this match gives some love to the troops, and it was 10 days before that Saddam statue falls.
Is it?
Remember that one where we were just waiting for them to take the fucking thing down?
Gotcha, yeah.
This is ages.
He does a slightly horrible, awkward thing that you could never get away with doing in Britain. Imagine, like, you know, you kick off Match of the Day or the cricket by just going, to our brave men and women, you're doing the right thing, kick their arse, come back soon, we love you.
Yeah.
I mean, was this before or after that whole Lindy England thing? Because they did go a bit nuts, didn't they? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it probably would be, actually, because the fall of... Yeah, I'm fairly certain.
It was all in that. I think that might have been post-Saddam and sort of even, you know, who knows? But either way, I mean, Jim Ross was basically saying the people who took advantage at Guantanamo Bay, he loves them. He loves them. Real shame, Jim. Real shame.
Jazz, Googling around her, she has a wrestling school with her husband, Rodney Mack, called The Dog Pound.
The Dog Pound.
And she was trained by Junkyard Dog.
Oh, was she?
Isn't that exciting?
Oh, I didn't know that. That's nice.
Because I thought Dog Pound, you can't just call it the Dog Pound if you don't have a relation to the Junkyard Dog.
Well, Rodney Mack, I think, was at one point, he called himself Red Dog. But no, that's great.
Exciting.
I mean, if only we had a time machine and we could go back and we could just train for one beautiful summer
with Junkyard
Dogs wrestling.
I'd love that.
That is, do you know, if we were making some indie film, that would be exactly the sort of thing that Netflix would get into, that you go, yeah, it's about two guys who are just, you know... They're basically finding their way and they go to Junkyard Dogs Wrestling. Yes.
I can't help but stereotype. I'm a man who tries to avoid stereotypes where possible, but you just know he'd know where the best ribs were. He just know he's an African American from the South.
Yeah.
He would just fucking know where the best ribs are. And look at his belly.
Look at that belly.
Look at his big tight belly.
The belly is the key.
Yeah.
The belly is the key. And you know, he could take us on
a big food adventure.
Yeah, the other thing is you're going to be getting him at a point where you've suddenly given him $400 and, you know, he's like, great, I am eating well. Marvellous. there's a little a promo that takes place afterwards, which is The Rock and Jonathan Coachman. Mm. And The Rock really is the best in the world at these. I mean, there's nobody else like him today where he is just, he's so laser focused on it and he's just entertaining, but at the same time serious, and he's not fucking about, but at the same time he's doing doing it with a light touch. Oh, he's great. He calls Austin a bald-headed bastard. And I think at this point, his head is pretty much entirely shaved. It's just a weird sort of like... I would have responded if I was Austin. I'd have come in and gone, no, that's you, that is. It would be really satisfying. But all he has to do here is slightly turn the fans against him to basically set up the fact that Austin is going to be the good guy in this one. And there's, you know, he's doing it for a very unselfish reason, which is that Austin is not long for this world.
Mm.
This is going to be his last match coming up, although they have not mentioned this to anyone. So nobody knows.
So what he's basically saying, I can't do this anymore, I'm not doing
it. Wait for it, Peter. Don't jump the gun.
This, though, is the... So before, so we got the easily best female match I've ever seen in WrestleMania, obviously, thus far, I think.
And Trish Stratus is really, really under. She's so good at playing the babyface in peril. She gets thrown around. She makes it look like she's been hit by a car. Great.
And then the rock thing. And then, we've got Los Guerreros and their song, We Lie, We Cheat, We Steal. It's a bit little problematic.
Yeah, this also is the pairing that really pushes Eddie Guerrero into superstardom. He begins using a lot of the old tricks from Mexican wrestling that we haven't seen in generations, a generation, and probably never in the US.
Right.
He begins to just use this thing of just cheating, and it's got a mix of comedy, and he's just brilliant at it. And this really is a golden period for Eddie Guerrero. We're building up, after this WrestleMania, he will ultimately be the man who will topple Brock Lesnar.
Right, okay.
You wouldn't know from seeing him in the mid-card. Do you know what? I've got it hanging in the back of my head. If I don't say it, someone will go, no, that didn't happen. What happens is Lesnar will lose the belt to Angle. He will regain it and then lose it to Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, yes, that is right. Thank you. Carry on.
I will.
Thank you, weird man in your head.
Chavo is there. Chavo is Eddie's real-life nephew.
Right.
And he was the son of Chavo's brother, Chavo Sr., a.k.a. Chavo Classic, when he returned to WWE as a sort of manager, nice. An elderly man. But they are the grandsons of the legend Gory Guerrero, who is, Chavo is Eddie's. I'm really... I can hear that voice
it's
in my
really
head
confused.
Now.
Right, yeah, I just got... Look, if you need to know, just go on Wikipedia. There's
that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm reading now.
I've got the Rocks family. You've got that family. It's all there.
Yeah, and Guerrero, Chavo was one of the guys who was with WCW at the end, and he was one of the few guys who came over when they bought WCW.
Yeah.
And he, again, you know, he was around for a few years. He was good value, but he never quite managed to break out of that lower position he was in. This is very much a payday match where they want to give everyone who they've been using over the last few, you know, over the last year, who are good wrestlers, they want to get them on the WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
So you've got Team Angle, who are Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, Chris Benoit and Rhino versus Los Guerreros. And you really get the impression in this that Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero are annoyed to be in this position.
Yeah.
There is so many different matches that could have happened with this combination of people if you'd have dropped Rhino and Chavo. That would have been amazing. Yeah, Eddie and Benoit
or Reno,
versus...
as the announcer says in the stadium, just Reno!
There is a WCW star who was called Reno, who was a sort of like gambling thing, but I mean, no one remembers that. I think he had a brief period where he's a transvestite. How is this stuff still lodged in my head? It's so annoying.
So unhelpful.
So annoying.
You forgot your Charles name.
Everyone works hard,
yeah.
But it's very it's just disappointing. There is one thing in here which I do love, which is Shelton Benjamin, and I think Shelton Benjamin for me is one of the great talents in wrestling that was never given the opportunity to do anything more than, you know, this level of stuff. He had a brief period where they tried to make him big, but again Triple H cut his legs off on that. He became a highlight of the annual Money in the Bank match, which will later happen at WrestleMania. But for me, Shelton Benjamin had a lot of charisma, and he's an astonishing athlete.
Yeah.
And I think if they'd have got behind him with even half of the sort of passion that they were pushing people like Edge and Test and Booker.
But it's every kind of, I know Booker obviously massively got over, but he made his name elsewhere, presumably.
He did,
didn't he?
And actually, he was the worst example to use here, because later in this WrestleMania, they absolutely cut him off at the legs.
Yeah.
So there is something that you could say is similar between Shelton Benjamin and Booker T.
Yeah, and that's
beyond
something...
the fact that they aren't allowed to get over.
Yeah, but I think it's a historical kind of systemic, deep seated. Possibly not even racism, just like racism, and they sort of say that isn't going to put white bums on seats, sort of thing. And it's
totally
that kind
agree.
Of like, and it's the same reason why, I don't know, it's the same reason why a lot of technology nowadays doesn't work with black people's skin, dark skins. It's why photography. If you ever try to take a picture of a white person and a black person together, it's fucking impossible.
Yeah.
Like the exposure just doesn't work.
That's
the systems don't work together, and it's systemic racism that you don't really think about every day. But like you think, Yeah, no, these guys aren't being put over because they people somewhere, the white guy who got all the money, think that they're not going to make any money out of them.
Even like the last WrestleMania, WrestleMania 35, they have Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan for the world title. They finally allow Kofi Kingston to rise to a position that he should have been at many years before.
Was he the guy in the New Day?
But they even, when they were building up to that, they had to bring in a racial element to it. It's 2019. We're watching wrestling. I don't need a thing where people are going, you know, you people, you know, fuck off. You know, it's not 1953 Alabama.
To be honest, 2019, it has got a bit like that, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Actually, I mean...
probably more up to date than they realise.
I say that. I am just living in this paradise because sooner or later, someone will listen to this podcast. We'll go down on a list that says white haters and then we'll be dragged from our homes by the new bully boys. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be... I'm sort of looking forward to killing some of them. Right.
Imagine swinging a cricket bat and, like, meaning it and sort of going... You deserve this.
Yeah, and you'd have written on it something like, on your England, side. Bloody England. And there'd be a photo taken of it and it would be on the front of the Observer magazine. And they will say, no one knows what happened to this man.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky-smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Always actually worth putting out just our thing that sometimes we forget to do. If you are racist, do stop listening. You're not welcome.
Can we still present though, Mark? Christ. God, and stop gatekeeping me.
Yeah, I was about to just list a load of things that I do like, but all of them are sort of a bit sexist. Eddie Guerrero here looks very massive as well. He looks really sort of bulked up, and I think that seems to have been a conscious decision to get noticed, and it doesn't seem to have affected his performance in the ring, but it's a surprise weight gain after a career of being quite small.
A surprise weight gain. Yes. He does a frog splash on Shelton.
I think Eddie is slightly taking out his annoyance at not being in a proper program on Shelton Benjamin, who really is the last person you should be taking it out on, because Shelton should also be in a better program. And then again, they cut back to those fucking Miller Lite catfight girls.
Yeah.
And they have a thing where they go, we'll settle it in the ring. No, we'll settle it in bed. No, we'll settle it in the ring. And it cuts back to Jerry Lawler, and he's practically got his dick out. He's like, this is going to be amazing. Oh, fucking
I've
hell.
Heard they like me. I didn't make it up.
I was reading some more of his autobiography the other night, and I tell you, some of it is absolutely how it... there wouldn't be a publisher who looked back and they just went, do you know what? That story about... Rick Rude's valet, Angel, where you do a pile driver and you flip her upside down, she's not wearing underwear. Can we make that, I don't know, maybe just a maximum of one page rather than five?
Good
and you
Lord.
Just going, oh, I could have stayed in that move forever. Oh, what I'd give to give her that again. Oh, the view from there was heaven. Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. If you found Jerry Lawler's autobiography handwritten in a park, you'd give it to the police. You'd be like, I don't know what's going on, but it's awful.
Who's the wrestler who's got a foot fetish now?
Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas. Tony Atlas was, I was like, 60 odd.
Atlas.
Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas. And he hasn't got any hair, so he's a hairless, but not Atlas. Although he is wearing Atlas. A hat in
Wait,
fairness.
No. He's wrestling, and oh, he's doing something, and a woman, it's. I think it's a quite recent... Yes. Video clip where a woman is grinding her feet into his face.
Yeah.
And he's having what can only be described as, even a man of a certain age, certain vintage, he's having what can only be described as a lovely time. Yeah. And there's kids watching.
There are. It's, and for me, confused. The thing that makes it is he's got Old Glory on his chest, the American flag. And it really is that sort of freedom to just have a young woman crush your face with her foot. Marvellous stuff.
Oh, there is
actually, I think that comes from, that's the clip, by the way, that I think more people have sent us through the rest of me Twitter than any other clip. They know exactly what our wheelhouse
exactly.
is. But the, there is actually a photograph that was taken probably about 6 months ago of, I believe, the same female wrestler
right.
at the same event. And she is just standing on his face. And it looks like an art piece because all her weight is on his face and you can't see his face, but you can tell from his hands that he's just going, this is lovely. It's a magic sight. Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho. Have we got time to crack through this?
Yes, I think we have.
God, yeah, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Blimey. I thought we had gone for ages.
Let's end it here
to just annoy people.
Yeah, this was, I enjoyed this one. It was good. This was good.
I loved this match. I think it's the it's the best match in WrestleMania 19 for me. It's hard to get across, really, when we watch WrestleMania because we're seeing, if you like, a snapshot every year. It's a little bit like listening to like Christmas number ones or the Midsummer number ones.
Right.
You miss a lot of the stuff on either side, but you get a general idea of what the music is. What doesn't come across on this is like Shawn Michaels, who I think the last time we saw him was WrestleMania 14.
Yeah.
He has a real problem with his back and he basically has retired.
Yeah.
He's not come back and he's gone for nearly 5 years. And he makes his return at SummerSlam 2002. And he doesn't seem to have lost a step. It's a real surprise. He has an unsanctioned match with Triple H, which he wins, and he goes on to win the world belt. And the comeback is remarkable. Nobody had seen him at a WrestleMania for, you know, since 1998, I think it is, and he's back. And he has not missed a step.
Yeah.
The thing that you can't really understand watching it in succession is just how long he'd been gone.
Right.
He'd been totally forgotten about.
Yeah.
It seemed like someone from a different generation.
Yeah.
It would be like Brutus the Barber Beefcake suddenly coming back and having this amazing career. That's the only way I can sort of, you know, describe it. It's just a testament to the type of performer he was. When he'd left, he'd been hated. He'd been a problem. He was an arsehole. He was on pills. He was just a nightmare. Uncooperative, surly, unprofessional, all those things. He goes away. He becomes a born-again Christian. He gets his life in order. And he comes back for a second shot. And nobody, apart from really Triple H, who is a good friend of his, is really willing to give him a second chance.
Yeah.
In fact, Triple H is one of the people who dobbed him in when he was going to be on a previous WrestleMania. And he turned up to a Raw, absolutely off his face. And Triple H went straight to Vince McMahon and said, he is in a state.
Right.
And Vince had basically sacked him. So he comes back and he is determined to do everything right that he got wrong before. And part of this is they give him a really good welcome back. He doesn't lose many matches. He's already at sort of legend status. But over the next five WrestleManias, he just becomes the greatest performer in WrestleMania history.
Right.
And this is someone who's already seemingly had a career. He's had his Iron Man matches against Bret Hart. He's had his ladder match against Razor Ramon. But now he starts this probably the single best run of WrestleMania matches by anyone in history. And it starts here with Chris Jericho.
Amish Chris Jericho, it seems, in this one.
Do you know what? There's something about Jericho that I just, even like the changing of the beard, I go, you don't have a full grip on the character. Now, I mentioned this in my really short episode we did about emails.
Yeah.
I have a slight problem with Chris Jericho, and I was listening just back to it because I thought, I hope people don't sort of go, are you seriously saying that Chris Jericho is bad?
No, look, it's not a meritocracy. You can't have stats. It's not like football. You can't sort of say, I've done this many passes, I've done this sort of running. And to be honest, that's the most boring thing about football. It's about art. It's about what you like about things.
And the art is the important of it, because I can see, yes, it's very good, this Chris Jericho. It's very good. But there's something about it that I kind of go, but why don't I react to it in the same way that I do the Shawn Michaels? And you saying his beard, his Amish beard, Jericho has a way of not, like, fully seeming to me to be convinced by what he's doing. Often when you see him, even in this bit, you see him doing some promo work and he's on the mic with Michaels. He's often looking at the floor.
Right.
And you see Michaels and his eyes are always up and he's always watching what's going on. And Jericho is slightly sort of shuffly and he just looks down. The beard is a big thing where I sort of go, if you change your look all the time, it's because you don't have a look.
Yeah.
You don't quite know what it is. And you're always trying this and trying that, but you're going, it's not quite right.
Yeah.
He does a lot of that in his career, and I just, even in this match, some of the stuff he does, he just doesn't look like he's trying to win the match. It's so weird. I properly wanted to look at it, and it all just adds up. This is as good a match as, you know, you could do, but I just find with Jericho, there's bits about it that I go, oh, that's why I don't 100% love
it. Well, they didn't sort of go all in on him being, I mean, it would have been a quite good angle to sort of have the Jericho sort of talking about how, obviously, speaks before quite eloquently about how he got into wrestling because of, you know, he wanted to be Shawn Michaels. But, like, they didn't go, they could have gone full in on him being a bit of a fucking groupie, you know, a bit of a, you know, and sold it a bit like that, maybe.
Yeah.
Like the person who's obsessed with them defeating the master. Obviously, that doesn't happen in the end, but it just seems,
it's the oldest story in the book, isn't it? It's the student against the master.
Yeah.
And they don't really play that up hugely. I remember at the time watching this, and this was when they showed the clips of young Jericho in presumably like Smoky Mountain Wrestling or something,
right,
which they then showed the young Shawn Michaels and the Rockers.
Yes.
There was a sense there that they were reaching out to a world beyond WWE, which is something they'd never really done before.
Right.
And you begin to sort of get the feeling that you go, oh, actually, these people have all got backstories. I don't know why it made it so exciting.
Yeah.
I loved seeing them doing the same moves separated by time. And that sense of going, this is a broad canvas, and these two, even though they've never come into contact, they've sort of, you know, Jericho's been so influenced, and it made it bigger. And I think the only thing that doesn't make it bigger is slightly Jericho, I don't know, I just can't do it.
It's not quite there.
It's not quite there, is it? I don't know what it is.
It's like Sean's confetti cannon.
Yes.
There's a lot of, as he comes down the, what do you call it? It's just the ramp, I suppose.
Yeah.
Big ramp.
The runway.
The entrance.
Yeah.
He's been gifted, I think about 5 or 6 confetti cannons.
Yes.
And they're all plugged into electricity, presumably to fire off some confetti into the crowd. Actually quite underwhelming when you look at it.
Yeah, they didn't go quite far enough, did they?
They didn't go quite far enough. And those are the ones that work.
Yeah, three,
and like two,
number three,
two, yeah,
goes,
number three
wrong.
Goes wrong, and number five goes wrong, and Sean has to sell that.
That for me is the difference between Jericho and Michaels, is that Michaels comes out, he has 5 confetti cannons, 2 of them don't fucking work, he shrugs, that's fine, and he's come out to a theme tune where he's singing, I'm just a sexy boy, sexy boy, and that comes out, and you look at that and you don't go, this guy is fucking ridiculous. You go, this guy is really cool.
And he's wearing like red, like leather with studs. It's like as if the King of Hearts did Eurovision.
Yes.
And you're like, well, he's not going to win. He's dressed like a fucking fetish doll.
Everything about Shawn Michaels is wrong, apart from the fact that he pulls it off.
I've also written down a medieval paramilitary group owned by a tin of shortbread. Because they're always like red and black, aren't they?
That's good. Yeah. Did you see he's also wearing that massive crucifix?
Yes.
Which I was sort of going, how big is that crucifix? And I reckon that you could crucify a rat on it.
it's rather large, isn't it? Field mouse.
The
definitely.
Sort of thing that, like, you know, the acolytes would do in 1999. But again, this was one of those things where Michaels comes out and you can see almost as he's coming out, he's going, oh, I'm looking forward to this more than I thought.
Yes.
And you can see him just going, this is great. And Jericho is ready to do it.
Yeah.
But Michaels, oddly, he just sort of has this thing of going, rather than going, I'm going to try to do a great match, he's just like, oh, I'm enjoying this, so I'll do a great match.
Yeah.
And he is so fluid, is the thing.
Yeah.
The two of them work brilliantly together. They are just, it's a lovely match to watch. It's doesn't flag. There's no... It's good. It's back and forth. I couldn't remember who won this. So it was like watching it slightly... I'd remembered it was a really good match. Mm. But I was watching it. I don't know who's going to win. And yeah. that gave me a thrill watching it that I haven't seen for a long time in a WrestleMania. Right. Where I was going, I don't know who's going to win this. What's going to happen? What's the ending going to be? The timing of it is beautiful. There's Michaels does something where like Jericho will hit him and he just has a bit of gob that flies out of his mouth and it goes about 50 feet up. I don't know how he does it.
It's better than the confetti cannon.
But it looks like a tooth, you know. And it's just those bits where you go, how does he do this? There's a bit where he does the bridge, which is Jericho is... Jericho's back is on Michaels' chest and they're both on the mat. And it's, you know, Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat used to do it quite often.
Right.
But it's just bridging up from that position of being on your back with someone on you and twisting around. And Michaels just does it effortlessly. And it's so enjoyable to watch. Yeah. And you really do get the impression that Michaels is just going... I wasn't, you know, necessarily bothered about doing this. I wasn't coming out being anxious or trying to steal the show. But while I'm here, I might as well steal the show. I think it's just a perfect thing. And the fact that he'd been out for so long and then could come back and do something of this quality is just a testament to how brilliant he was. Well,
somebody puts up a sign for number one Jericho fan, and I was transported to the mid-noughties in the TV show Jericho, which I was genuinely obsessed with. I love that
what
show.
What was it about?
It was about like a nuclear apocalypse and people just picking up the pieces of community, and then obviously they find another community that's not dead, and they're like, oh, it's just basically Walking Dead.
But, without the zombies.
Without the zombies at all. The seven series that came after the two. I love that programme. And I was like, number one Jericho fan. I was a number one Jericho fan, but not that Jericho.
By the end, the crowd is just in the palm of their hand. Yeah. And it must be, I can't imagine what that must be like of 60,000 people and you just go, I'm going to do something now and I know the reaction it's going to get. That's the beauty of wrestling.
Well, even when like Jericho stood over Sean, like slapping him and shouting, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. I quite know that.
One of the biggest pops in the whole thing is Shawn Michaels is in the Walls of Jericho, which is a submission. Move and he just gets to the ropes, and just the act of touching the ropes makes the entire place stand on their feet. It's just, it's magic. And the end section is just so, it's just beautiful. I mean, it's just lovely. It's a really, really good match. Mm. It's far and away the best match on this.
Yeah,
actually, there are no particularly bad matches on this.
No, there's not stinkers, is there?
Some of them are dull.
Are we counting the Miller Girls?
I think that's a very good but Chris Jericho, he says that this is his favourite WrestleMania match he ever did.
Oh, cool.
And Michaels, there's a lovely story about him going backstage afterwards, and an unnamed member of staff said to him, your match has actually gone a bit too long. And he responded, when you have a match as good as that, you can go as long as you want. And he wasn't wrong. There's a little sign that comes up as well, which is that perfect thing of going, what year is it, archaeology?
Right.
So the sign comes up. It couldn't be more 2003. And it just says, I know a skater boy.
Oh, wow, the Avril Lavigne song.
Avril Lavigne,
wow.
Yeah.
I know a skater boy.
He was a boy, she was a girl. Can I make it any more obvious? I did start looking at quite a lot of Avril Lavigne facts.
Right.
The song is actually a bit of a dickhead song, Skater Boy. It's about a snobby girl who rejects a skateboarder who has a crush on her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Despite secretly, she's in love with him too.
Yeah, she's got tickets to see her, sure.
She lets her friend's prejudices sway her decision-making. Later on, he becomes a superstar musician, even playing guitar on MTV.
Yeah.
And he's moved on with another woman.
Well,
she ultimately ends up as a young, single mother. That's the worst thing they can think of happening to you.
Yeah.
You won't go to go out with someone who's been on MTV, but you will have a baby. Will the baby love me? Yeah. It's not great.
Is it a skater baby? Because it's not a skater baby. You're not interested. It's
she was a girl, he was a baby. Can I make it any more obvious?
We've done... I don't even think it's even licensed by the Hello Kitty people, but she did a song, I think, called Hello Kitty. It will have been surely licensed by Hello Kitty.
Sanrio Corporation. Goes,
yeah. Well, we walked past the shop in Harajuku that they filmed that in. And obviously she was criticised for that music video, obviously, you know...
Cultural appropriation.
Which is something that Japanese don't even fucking care about.
No, I mean, they love it when Gwen Stefani does it, don't they?
It's just like... But it is just kind of like... Yeah, I mean... But it's not high culture. It's not like... I mean, it's lasses who dress up like weird Victorian schoolgirls and stuff. It's not really... It's not... It's not up there with, you know, Shakespeare, is it? Byron.
Or anything important.
Yeah, or like, you know, or wearing a Native American headdress. It's not exactly, it's Hello Kitty.
Or even like dressing up as like a suffragette. People who had a political thing that they, you know, fought for. I mean, the sexy schoolgirls in Japan, there was never a thing where they were
shouldn't
repressed.
Be happening anywhere. No. They shouldn't be happening anywhere.
A, they shouldn't be happening. B, no no one is trying to repress them. You see them everywhere.
I've seen some videos. We'll get out of here and we'll be back very soon with some Wrestle Me Mark, Wrestle Me Avril Lavigne Peter. If you want to get in touch with the show at showwrestlemepod.com. I will stick in next episode though a clip that my friend Craig, who you also know, he got through the website Cameo.
Hey.
It has a lot of wrestlers on there, sort of basically, and you can pay them money to say things for you. But they can't endorse products. Craig managed to sneak it in.
If the price was right.
So Craig spent, I think, 30 quid on getting the great Khali, who is one of my favourite shit wrestlers, to say, hey, babe. Like, in some fucking, I don't know, fucking shop.
Yeah.
He looks like he's in a barber shop with his daughter climbing all over him. And he's and
he is not fucking around on the whole I will do as little as possible. I'm having my haircut. I've got to do my cameos.
And the best thing is, like, obviously with Cameo, if you're not familiar, like, you can see other people's things. So he's filmed about 10 in a row at the same time going, hey, how's it going? And he does mention WrestleMe at one point, which is great. So thank you very much for that, Greg. And I'll stick that at the end of next week's show.
Good.
So
we should actually just play those, and then we should get the Million Dollar Man to do one that says everyone has a price to the Million Dollar Man. Ha ha ha. that's probably... I don't want to be kicked off Cameo.
No.
How else am I going to get Zack Ryder to say happy birthday to me?
Oh, we should go on there as talent, I think. Yay. All right, then, wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter. We will also say wrestle me to you for just $24.
Bing bong. That was the end of the jingle. Bing bong. Bing bong.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.